This is First Baptist Church for Sunday, May 31st, 2026.
Good morning once again. Thank you for being here and allowing me to stand before you. I consider it a blessing and opportunity and an honor to thank you. I want to start with
verse. The appetite of laborers works for them. Their hunger drives them on. From Proverbs 16:26. And we'll be moving through this idea, and I hope to bring a better understanding of what this means by the time we're done. So I've said that, on another note, to be an alcoholic or a drinker or someone who falls victim to booze, all you need is a bad memory. You get out Friday night, have a good time, you're really whooping it up, maybe Saturday night, and then Monday morning comes, and you say, I'll never do that again. But then by Friday, the memory's gone and you manage to do the same thing again. I used to have a really great memory. COVID did a lot to hurt that. But I want to point out that to have habits is memories. And so to have good habits means remembering what was before, what can come, and what we're called to. So you may have heard about the Pope's encyclical about AI, and he talked about the dangers of it, that it would take purpose away from people. Wouldn't it be great, Elon Musk predicted, you won't have to work anymore. I don't think that's a blessing. I think it could be a curse. So I'm going to work through these with some examples. The experiences of the Israelites described in the Old Testament shows how they turned to other gods, and as Joshua warns in 2:24:14-16, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped before beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Throughout that excursion in the desert, it was a constant turning away and back. After they settled in the promised land, it was a constant turning away and back. There was a continuous turning away and of their fathers and toward the gods, those around them. At the same time, there was the continuous need for the altar sacrifices that were done to pay for the sins of the people. Spoiler alert, this was satisfied by Christ on the cross. But there is another facet of this repetitive falling away and returning. In the encyclical, the Pope references Nehemiah, which in part describes why they were expelled from the land. And I read from Nehemiah 9:25-26. They captured fortified cities and fertile land. They took possession of houses filled with all kinds of good things, wells already dug, vineyards, olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance. They ate to the full and were well nourished. They reveled in your great goodness, but they were disobedient and rebelled against you. They turned their backs on your law. They killed your prophets who had warned them. In order to turn them back to you, they committed awful blasphemies. And this has in part to do with why they were expelled from the land. So now I announce the title of the message, Affluence Breeds Complacency. The punishment was being forced out of their land, but also how, when they turned back to him, They were able to return and go to work, restoring what had been lost. This begins to describe the theme of this message. The wisdom of the Bible teaches us the proper approach to life more abundant. From Proverbs 30:7-9, and this would be the central theme of the message. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Plenty or want, turn to God. Now, these are examples from the Old Testament about becoming satisfied and forgetting God. This is from Deuteronomy. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees which I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God. Who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. And one more from Hosea. These are the Old Testament examples. But I have been the Lord your God ever since you came out of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me, no Savior except me. I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of burning heat. When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me. But this is what came before. Repeated attempts to return to God, becoming complacent, forgetting God, a vicious cycle. That was the Old Testament. Now, I don't know how many may remember Paul Harvey. He had a radio broadcast where he would talk on a topic, and he got so far and he would say, page 2. So we turn the page now, and as Jesus taught in the New Testament, a new attitude and approach made possible by what he accomplished in his life, that we could begin the process of sanctification. To be thorough and defined, when we were having our Wednesday Bible study, we were talking about what is it, you know, can we be perfect? Can we be without sin? Well, when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we are born again in Jesus Christ, we begin a process. It's called sanctification. It would be wonderful if it was just a straight shot from where we are all the way up. But it's a step-by-step process. Sometimes it's 2 steps forward, 1 step back. We may stumble, but we don't fall. But it is a gradual improvement. As long as we are following the lead of the Holy Spirit and seeking God, he will continue to lead us in the way we should go. So, it is a process. And it won't be perfect until that day when he comes and redeems us. But these are stories. We're telling stories. Now, I've talked about this in my recent message, that storytelling is how we communicate. It's how we learn. It's how we learn to understand and how we understand to learn. Jesus used parables so that people could relate to what he was saying in order that they could have gain understanding and receive instruction. So now as we turn to the New Testament, I go to Luke. Now I'm talking about these stories in this process of what we fall away and turn back. They fell away and turned back. They had to do temple sacrifices on a continuous basis for the forgiveness of sins. But we now know that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And that's what we received. So in Luke 12. This is Luke 12:13-21. I used to remember listening to Dr. Charles Stanley, and I loved the fact that when he was going to Scripture, you would hear the pages turning. Then you knew he was actually looking it up in his Bible. I have a new Bible, and not all the pages are even separated yet. But that would be a goal for me, as I always recommend, being able to read the Bible cover to cover. It gains you so much in wisdom and understanding. The instructions before leaving earth that we talked about. So in Luke 12, starting at 13, this is the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you?" And he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat and drink and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God.'" That's the first indication that it's not just the action, it's the attitude. So I turn now to Luke 8. And starting with 4-8. "While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown." And I jump down to 11. "This is the meaning of the parable," Jesus told them. "The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from all their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away." Now, in 14, "The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those who, with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by preserving, produce a crop." Growing up with the thorns and being choked off by the things of the world. Take heart, there's good news at the end. So in the epistles, that's the parables from the gospels, but then in the epistles, the letters that come after the gospels, the teaching of the new attitude and approach was continued. In the early church, as many were added, and there could be confusion. Those that had the Holy Spirit had to shepherd the flock by correcting errors and pointing in the right direction. Among them, 1 Timothy. This is Paul writing to Timothy from 6, 1 through 5. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters should not show them disrespect just because they are fellow believers. Instead, they should serve them even better because their masters are dear to them as fellow believers and are devoted to the welfare of their lives. Going forward to 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. There's another indication of attitude over action. Not to be arrogant or put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. We hear the same truth as the rich fool who built the big new warehouses to store his grain. It wasn't about what they had, it was about how they used it and how they shared it. One more from Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. It's titled, The Warning to Pay Attention. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. What we have received, what God has given us, what we can turn to in times of need or difficulty. So after page 2, Paul Harvey would have another break, and then he would announce, and now the rest of the story. So there is a solution, and I have a list of things that we can consider as to the proper attitude. When we are in comfort, when we have plenty, what may be a time of struggle and difficulty and wanting. So first, and I speak of this for myself, I've had to experience this, temperance. And temperance means avoiding the bad things that lead us astray. It can mean too much of a good thing. Wealth is not the problem. It's how the attitude of the heart. You talk about the heart and what it's devoted to. If it's devoted to God, wealth will be a gift and not a detriment. So temperance, service, abundant life. You know, there's the Declaration of Independence says that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But I've talked about this. This should be familiar. What's that pursuit of happiness? We need fulfillment. And we get fulfillment from service. Brad likes to say that my blessing now is to do the work the Lord has put before me. Accomplishment is rewarding. We need something to do. If we have robots doing everything for us and AI doing everything for us, where will we be? It won't be God's will for our lives. AI can be a useful tool, robots as well, but we are also responsible for our lives, how we live them, what we do, and how we fulfill, because as I said at the beginning earlier this morning, the ifs of conditional promises. God will deliver us. God will lead us. God will bring to us our most abundant life if we are asking And if we are watching, you have to be asking and watching, and he will reveal the next step. I ask all the time, please, Lord, just reveal the next step. I don't need to know the whole path, but I need to know, what am I to do next? It has led me in many times, many ways, in employment, in my personal life, and even my church life, to a better life. What I think Jesus meant when he said abundant life. So, in service, we also have to have gratitude. We want to recognize how blessed we are. We want to appreciate what we have. And now I turn to Philippians 4:10. Even the smartphone can be a tool for God. So I turn to the scripture. And this is Paul writing to Philippia. And from 10 to 13, he speaks of God's provision. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need. For I have learned, in whatever situation I am, to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
Amen.
And then in 19, as you look at this, I call it the secret that's not really a secret. He says, I've learned the secret of being content. But the secret is not a secret. The secret is, it's a choice. It's the difference between feeling that the wealth is something you've earned or something that God has given you. Whether a travail or a problem is a sign that you've gone the wrong way, or whether it's a teaching and learning moment given to us by God that we can mature and learn and grow, we should always be asking God, what am I to get out of this experience? So this contentment leads to the best life we can have considering the circumstances we are under, whether in plenty or in want. Just as this proverb said, give me neither poverty nor riches. Poverty, and I may steal and so defame the name of my Lord. Or in plenty, that I'll forget who the Lord is and so dishonor him. So in 19 it says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Which points to the greatest blessing, that which we should be most grateful for. So the theme of this entire message, when we get hungry, we put forth effort. The hunger of the laborer works to his advantage. I know this pretty well, because if I don't get out and work, I'm not going to be able to make ends meet. You know what you do if you can't make both ends meet? You make one vegetable. All right, never mind. But hunger leads to effort, ideally. It gives us the motivation to do and to receive and to serve. Then we can reach a point of abundance and get comfortable. And this is where it starts to lead to affluence. We get comfortable, we become complacent. And you have so many people that don't come to church, that don't feel they need church. It's like, I'm comfortable in my life. What do I need God for? So, I believe we know eternal salvation. It's not just about this life. You may be having a great life, but it may not be your best life. If you are taking everything for yourself, if all you care about is your own pleasure, and again, the good news is, it's not about we can't have pleasure. We are allowed to have pleasure. We are allowed to have joy. We are allowed to partake in the fruits of our labor while recognizing everything is from God And if there's a call that we need to provide, then we provide in the name of God. So we can become comfortable, complacent in a period of affluence. It's a real difficult situation in this country because we are affluent. The poorest in this country eat better than some of the richest in other countries. We're very fortunate to have the blessings of this country, this beautiful, wide, sea-to-sea country that provides so much, and also in the means of sustenance, but also in the means of opportunity. That which we can do to serve God is right before us. So when we can become complacent and become forgetful, just as we heard in all those stories, that when the Israelites, when the early church became too complacent, when Jesus talked about the rich fool or the sower of the seed, that things of the world got in the way. But here's the thing we have to remember. It's not for all. And this is why we should have that motivation to share the news, to share the gospel, to make people aware of the choice they have to make, because it's the saved and not the unsaved. If it's a person saved and they're praying to God and paying attention, they will receive. But those, it's like it says, you know, the way of the righteous is like the morning sun growing ever brighter to the full light of day. That's just like the sanctification I described, that we're on a process of improving and maturing, as it says in the scripture on the wall, until we reach maturity and the fullness of Christ. So, for those unsaved, it's like they're stumbling in darkness, the proverb says. They don't even know what makes them stumble. Without the light of Christ, the light that came into the world, without the Holy Spirit given to us that we can see, He brings spiritual sight to us, that we can see Him, that we can know Him. The scripture says that you now know the Holy Spirit. He is a person, the person of the Holy Spirit, which you can know, and as you know Him, He will help you, and you can call upon Him. This is God. This is what He does for us. So, we go from abundance to comfort, comfort to complacency. Affluence can breed complacency and forgetfulness, forgetting what God has done for you, forgetting that it was because of Him that you received, but then remembrance, turning back. If my people will humble themselves, turn from their ways, and seek my face. It speaks to the renewed dependence of God. Ideally, sanctification and the maturing in Christ would be a straight line. We will have bumps. We will have times where we're going to have difficulty that may want to lead us away, or we may have plenty which may want to lead us away. So that's our job. Look to the Lord. What can I do? What do I need? Depend on Him for everything. Not just what He provides, but the opportunities that He puts before us. For it says, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared in advance for you to do, that we might walk in them. That is a source of joy. Enjoy what you have. That's part of the gratitude for plenty. Endure what you must go through, because endurance produces perseverance, and these things lead to hope and joy. That hope and joy we have because of what Christ did for us on the cross. The sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus. New life in Him. And as John likes to say, He died for you. What should you do? Live for Him. Father God, I thank You for this opportunity to speak Your word. I appreciate the fact that You show me things that I can learn. And that I pray that by sharing these things that I have learned, that it would help others. That by telling the stories, by producing the wisdom that comes from the truth of the word, that we can all grow and mature and learn better to look to You for everything and to walk in the way You have provided to us leading to abundant life. I ask it in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to the honor and glory of the Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.